says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again, and we thank you for this time that we can gather together in your name. And Lord, as your word goes out this morning, may it reach the hearts of each one that needs to hear it. May you work in our lives, guide us and direct us, strengthen us, correct us, whatever it is that we need this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for never forsaking us. And Lord, I thank you for your love for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may you work in the hearts of all who hear. We praise you and we worship you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Not working? Okay, we're kind of experimenting on this morning. Sorry about that. The key word in our text to opening the door to understanding what we need to do, what is best for us in this text is yield. We need to learn to yield to the Lord, yield to the Holy Spirit. And that word yield means to give up, to surrender, to give place to. And that's exactly what we need to do with the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches of the indwelling Holy Spirit given to every true believer. In Romans 8:11, it says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" And John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." In these verses, we have direction from God, instruction from God. Once we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit lives within us. The Spirit of God lives within us. And we then have the privilege, the accountability, the responsibility to surrender ourselves, to yield ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to do what God wants for us to do as an individual and as we live for Him. So what we find is that God unfolds His will for us as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit that is within us. So to start with, what are we looking at? What is this proposition that God has set out here for us? What is involved? Well, we find in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It starts off in verse 1 with the words, "I beseech you." And that is not a command, but yet it is a pleading to believers to live the kind of lives that mark them as the children of God, that mark us as the children of God. How am I living my life for God? What does the world see when they look at me? He says to present your bodies. Present here in this passage and yield over in Romans 6, verse 13, are the same Greek word. So when we see present and yield, we are to put ourselves in a position of surrender, of yielding, of giving up our own way and doing what God tells us to do, how God tells us to do, when God tells us to. And this is not something we have to do for our salvation. It's not part of our salvation. It is something we should want to do because we're saved, because of our salvation has already happened. We want to surrender. We want to yield. We want what's best for us, and we know who gives that to us. What we find is it must be this way. For we only yield ourselves to a person or a principle that we love or that we have the deepest respect for. Who do we yield to? Ultimately, who has the final say in our life? Do we trust them to where we'll go to any point with them? Paul indicates two areas that should be affected by this yielding that's mentioned here. First, he calls for a dedication of the whole body as a living sacrifice to God. The whole body. You know, we dedicate ourselves to whatever God may choose for us. When we present ourselves to God, it is not, well, I will do this for you, God, or I will do that for you, God, but God, what would you have me to do? How do you want me to do it? It's about serving God, not trying to work and please God by what I do. He is our God. We do not tell Him what to do with our lives. We must understand we're not divided into spiritual and physical as far as our dedication to God is concerned. Our whole body, with all that we are, is to be yielded to God. When we wholly dedicate ourselves to God, give God all that we are, all that we have, the Lord Jesus will be seen in everything we do, because we are a reflection of God working in us and through us. It will be obvious at home, at work, play, school, wherever we are and in whatever we do. So we need a dedication of the whole body as a living sacrifice to God. Second, he tells us how this dedication of our body is maintained. He says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how are our minds renewed? Well, it happens as Christ moves in and does the thinking for us, guides us, directs us. And when he does so, it causes us to ask this question that many people have broadcast and put on bracelets and rings and signs: what would Jesus do? And we need to examine that in everything in our life. What would Jesus do in this situation? How would Jesus deal with the government? How would Jesus deal with the bank? How would Jesus deal with the school system? How would Jesus deal with my family? What would he want me to do in this particular situation? How can I honor him with my life, with all that I am? By yielding ourselves to the Spirit that is within us. Because we have to understand that the Spirit that is within us, God, the same God that is the Father and the Son. What would Jesus have me to do? We have a prime example of that, because God is the one who set down the rules. It's not man's rules. So we have a pattern. God has set down these rules, and Jesus is our example. Jesus was completely dedicated to the will of his heavenly Father. What an example for us. In John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." We find that Jesus' human body was the vehicle by which he carried out his Father's will. John 6:38, Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." Likewise, the believer should view their body as the vehicle God has provided to carry out his will. We live for a season. We live for a time. What are we doing for Jesus Christ during that time? What is the Father's will for me? You think back, well, I've done lots of things in the past. The past is the past. What am I doing today? What am I doing for tomorrow? Who am I helping now? How am I representing Jesus Christ today? We understand that Jesus was the perfect Son of God and there was no sin found in him. Our problem is that we are sinners by nature, and it is natural for us to be contrary to the will of God. So then, is it a hopeless case for us? No, it is not. Because of what Jesus can do and what Jesus has done for us. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." How did Jesus lay out the example for us? What did he teach us to do? To yield to our Heavenly Father. To yield to the one who knows all truth. To knows what is best for our life. The first word here in that passage in Philippians, "Let this mind be in you," that word "let" means let it be done. Let it be done in my life. Let it be done in your life. That has to do with yielding to the Holy Spirit. It's not our determination that produces God's will, but our willingness to let God do it through yielding to the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus was dedicated to his Father's will, three things happened in his life. Jesus was willing to go where the Father chose. Jesus was willing to go where the Father chose. In John 8:23, Jesus said, "I am from above. I am not of this world." Very clearly teaches his deity here. We very clearly understand that he came with a purpose. He came to represent mankind, to pay the penalty for mankind. And he did so. But he did it completely through the will of the Father, the will of God. We find that Jesus was willing to be whatever his Father chose for him to be. We find that Jesus was willing to be the sacrificial lamb of God, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world that the Bible describes. And we find that Jesus was willing to do whatever his Father chose for him to do, whatever it took, whatever he says. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So where does that leave us since we are not perfect like Jesus? Well, Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ." Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Hebrews 13:21, God speaking of God here says, "Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, God is still working with us. Perfect? No. We all have flaws. But we have a God who does not. And the Holy Spirit that lives within us is there to guide us and to improve our life, to cause us to be more Christ-like in everything that we do. And that comes from that yielding to the Spirit of God. So God tells us what He wants us to do. Just like He directed Jesus, He directs us on what He wants us to do. Then by His Spirit that is within us, as we yield to that Spirit, He does it. Letting God work in us is not just an intellectual thing, but it is a surrender and then a following through in the work of God. So what is the purpose then of yielding? Why are we to yield to the Holy Spirit? What will yielding accomplish in our lives? Well, we'll understand more fully every day the will of God for our lives. The more you listen to God, the more you are in the Word of God, the more the Holy Spirit directs you in the Word of God, the more you surrender to the will of God, the surrender to the Holy Spirit, the yielding of the Holy Spirit, it just keeps building and keeps strengthening us and developing us and transforming us to Christ-likeness. God will lead us by His Spirit if we're willing to do what He says. I have heard all my life the yeah, buts. I know what it says, but how can I do that? To the Spirit. If God instructs us to do something, He will equip us to complete it, follow through on it. The act, though, is our yielding to Him, so that it can be done, God working in us to do His good pleasure. Someone has said, God will speak loudly enough for a willing soul to hear. Some people say, well, I need a sign. Here's your sign. The Word of God is your sign. The work of God in our life, the teaching of God, the directive of the Holy Spirit directing our life is perfectly in line with the Word of God. The times that we live in are perfectly in line with the Word of God. Nothing is throwing God off course. So does it make sense to trust Him and yield to Him? We need to ask the Lord, Lord, what would You have me do today in the midst of this time in which I live? Today. Because every day is a new day. I can't change yesterday. I can take today and go forward. Lord, help me today. Help me to be who I need to be today. Help me to trust You more today. Help me to yield to You more today. Help me to listen. Help me to be in Your Word. God's leading will always be according to the Scriptures. God doesn't go contrary to His Word. If He did, He'd be a liar. And we know that God cannot lie. We must understand that it is never true with God that the end justifies the means. Because He is the very essence of truth. When we talk about truth, it takes us directly to God. In our world, we see lies everywhere. People don't have an idea even what the truth is out there. But God tells us what the truth is. He tells us in His Word. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He instructs us on what truth is in the Word of God. Truth, God's truth is absolute. The Bible reminds us in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God will equip us and supply all our needs to do whatever arises before us on planet Earth in our lifetime. God has already prepared that for us. We find that divine leadership is provided by the Holy Spirit who indwells the Christian. When we yield ourselves to God, we increasingly come to have the mind of Christ. The more we yield, the more blessed we become. The more Christ-like we become. The more we think like God would have us to think. He's not able only to convince us of what is wrong, but he is also able to give us a clear understanding of what is right. We can get confused in this world. And God can teach us the absolutes. This is right. This is wrong. Where do those standards come from? From man? No. Man has shown his ability to understand truth and turn away from it. Absolute truth comes from God. So it would take God to show us and help us to understand right and wrong. And he does so through the Word, through the Holy Spirit that dwells within believers. John 14, 26 again says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Jesus has given and sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that he might guide us and teach us and direct us into all truth. That was not just for the disciples in the days that Christ walked on the earth, but it is for today as well. The Holy Spirit is just as much the Holy Spirit today as he was then, as he has always been. In John 16, verse 13 through 14 says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." The purpose of the Holy Spirit given to us is to intercede for us, to show us and to teach us the things of God. He will guide you into all truth. We can have the guidance of the Lord and still fail to yield to that guidance. The Bible instructs us then to yield ourselves to the Lord. Yield our bodies wholly to the Lord. Yield our minds and our thoughts to the Lord. We must understand that the Holy Spirit is always ready to lead a lost soul to Jesus Christ. Always ready to teach the truth about who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, how Jesus has provided salvation from sin, and gives that freely and willingly, which is taught in the Word of God and led by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is also always ready to lead the followers of Christ to be more like Jesus and to teach us all things. The Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Do you lack? Ask God for that wisdom. Ask God to show you the truth. Ask God to give you that ability to yield. Ask God to help you to turn away from sin, to turn away from the draws and the affairs of this life, that we might be obedient to His will. The key then is that we need to yield yourself, we need to yield ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do so this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come before You once again, we thank You for the privilege that we have of gathering together in Your name. And Lord, instruct us and guide us and teach us through Your Word. For any that might be listening this morning that have never trusted You as Savior, that today they would call upon the name of Jesus Christ and ask You to come into their life and save them and give them eternal life and create in them the new man that Your Word speaks about. That You would help the Christian, the ones who have received You at this point, to grow in You, to be strengthened by Your Word, to be led by the Spirit of God. That You would help us during this time in which we live to be obedient to Your Word and to Your will, to not just talk about God, but to have that relationship with You that we need to have. It is You and You alone that are God. Work in our lives today and be glorified and magnified, and let us yield to You. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.